And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia. But you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have
Pastor Gavin Insulin
and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
Hot politics.
And this week's hot politics, we are looking at a former president of South Africa, but not just any former president of South Africa, a well-known president of South Africa. Pastor Gavin, do you want to let them know who it is?
Yeah, it's the one and only Nelson Mandela. I remember when I was growing up in the 1980s, Stevie Wonder would receive a Grammy and saying, you know, then he'd perform in the Grammys, he'd say, I'm dedicating the song to Nelson Mandela, that kind of stuff. And so obviously Nelson Mandela is an icon from South Africa, and his name is very respected around the world. Even in South Africa, there's a day called Mandela Day. However, when one looks at the younger generations in South Africa, you know, they might not necessarily have the same view. And so we're going to discuss today, you know, Nelson Mandela, was he good, bad, indifferent? We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it. And, you know, I'm going to also share my thoughts as someone that lived through the times.
Gavin Insulin.
And I think it's going to be an awesome discussion. I hope Black Knight's ready with... the views of
hot politics,
of today, you know, because we know what Julius Malema calls Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, it's gonna
cause him a sellout.
Yes, he does. So that is what we are going to be speaking about today. It's going
to
be
one and only
awesome,
Nelson Mandela,
as always, because this is the
I remember when I was growing up in the 1980s.
An amazing topic to speak
Stevie
about.
Stevie Wonder would receive a Grammy and saying,
"May."
You know,
so
then he's performing the Grammys.
Awesome.
It's
yes,
dedicating the song to Nelson.
Yes,
and you know, all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, so obviously, Nelson Mandela is an icon from South Africa, and his name is very respected around the world. Even in South Africa, there's a day called Mandela Day. However, when one looks at the younger generations in South Africa, you know, they might not necessarily have the same view. And so we're going to discuss today, you know, Nelson Mandela, was he good, bad, indifferent? We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it. And, you know, I'm going to also share my thoughts as someone that lived through the times. And I think it's going to be an awesome discussion. I hope Black Knight's ready with the views of some of the youngsters.
I mean, this thing, no, we can't make a decision because it's going to cost too much. It's ridiculous. But anyway.
Because we know what Julius Malema caused Nelson Mandela.
You know, I'm not judging what they're going to do.
Cause him a sellout.
You know, look, personally, I'm not sure I'd be too comfortable if they postpone, because we might see a few fires around. You know, unwanted fires. Everything is burning down and things. You know, if that happens, I don't know how the country would react if the election was postponed.
So well, later today we're going to know if it's the 29th of May. What's the Constitutional Court going to say? You know, I just wanted to mention something. This is off topic, but I see we've got a few seconds. You know, people are talking about this court case and what must come. You know, people are saying that what must be taken into account, I think Black Knight also said it to me, is the cost if they have to move the election. And I'm saying no. It's got nothing to do with the cost. It's a matter of law. I mean, our court said that Eskom is illegal.
That is what we're going to be speaking about. It's going to be really awesome.
Because of the environmental legislation
that's
been passed.
Show,
doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter if half the country goes dark. You know what I'm saying? It's like Eskom has lowered its emissions. That's what the law says. So if it's going to cost 30 billion rand to postpone the election, then it must cost 32 billion rand if that's what the law says. I mean, this thing, no, we can't make that decision because it's going to cost too much. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I just thought I'd give my 5 cents on that. You know, now I'm not be judging what they're gonna find. I'm not, you know, look, personally,
like you said,
I'm not sure I'd be too comfortable if they postpone, because we might see a few fires around.
Nelson,
you know, unwanted fires happening, a few buildings burning down and things. You know, if it happens, I don't know how the country would react if the election was postponed. So I'm not necessarily for it being postponed, but if we do operate according to the rule of law, it's not the rule of 30 billion rand. It's the rule of law. What does the law say? Should the IEC have accommodated those parties? Yes or no? What does the law say?
Obviously, and then you didn't live through apartheid. You didn't witness,
I just wanted to say that's my view. The liberation, but we're not going to talk about that again because we're going to talk
from
the one and only His Royal Highness
and the Madiba, difference to where we are now,
the father of the nation. So
technically, you are living in the new South Africa, in inverted commas. And what are your thoughts, or what is your opinion about Nelson Mandela?
I just wanted to mention.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a caveat, you know, on this conversation.
Yeah.
Black Knight grew up in a household. It's not only pro ANC, they are ANC. And myself, I've never supported the ANC.
Oh, guys, we've got a very interesting
but whatever comes out of this
group of people.
I just want to, you know, give people that context. So, you know, so don't assume anything about our political views based on our views on the subject.
All right.
So it's on me.
Yes.
Okay.
First person.
I told you not to start that. Guys, I gave him next. You know, I told him to start like my pastor, Pastor Bert Pretorius would start. You know,
sorry.
And now he's at me.
I'm not that good. So my view, I'm in the middle. The middle of he's a sellout. At the same time,
I just explain. So obviously the younger leaders like Julius Malema, even when he was in the ANC.
I just wanted to mention as sort of like a caveat, you know, on this conversation. Black Knight grew up in a household. It's not only pro ANC, they are ANC. And myself, I've never supported the ANC.
You know, leading up to the first
With whatever comes out of this conversation, so, I just want to, you know, give people that context. don't assume anything about our political views based on our views on the subject.
Okay, sorry,
carry on. So, I'm torn into two with this. When it comes our president,
I told you not to start that way.
Former.
Guys, I gave him I told him to start like my pastor Bert Pretorius would start.
For what we're going through now.
And now
it was really freedom that he fought for and we got out of the treaty that was signed. For the better livelihoods of the South African,
can
the
I
black
just explain?
South African,
so,
to be specific.
Obviously, the younger leaders like
we
Malema,
didn't get, and the promises that
when
were
he was
made
in the ANC,
and which were the classic
many
one
of the
was
other,
free electricity
young
and
guys
housing.
That are talking are saying
we,
that Nelson Mandela and his
we
colleagues
still
in the
have
ANC sold
that
the
thing
black
going on till today, and the housing, the state of the housing that the government is building is actually becoming
up to the first.
The quality, if I can say, of the houses that they
so,
build, they're becoming
agreement that
lower
they
and lower. The quality is decreasing each and every.
The view amongst many young black South Africans is that they were
start
a sellout
with their projects
and
with the RDPs,
they didn't take
but
the land
every time
and
they do that, okay, the quality of the houses that they build, they're becoming lower and lower. And obviously, we won't even talk about electricity. The whole country is facing that problem. But at the same time, the reason why I say I also understand is that I don't think that the people back then, even ANC, the small party that they were, even when before they were ANC, that whole rebellion movement that they were pushing, they were not going to succeed. They already had forms where they had to flee the country and go train elsewhere and then come back and try this rebellion guerrilla warfare, which was gonna obviously put the country into dire straits even more. But I don't think they had that many people, and they I don't think they had those many weapons to actually defeat the apartheid government that was there. So
definitely not.
Yeah, so I don't think they had a choice. Hence why I say I understand, because within the selling out in inverted commas is that we at least have this life that we're living that is better, way, way, way better than the apartheid itself. I'm not saying obviously we have our problems, but this is our problems that we're facing as born free / Gen Zs that we are today. So from that, I do understand what he did, but obviously the problems that we're finding ourselves in and the conspiracy theories that are behind the killing of Chris Hani, the whole thing with the signing of the land, the minerals, and how that was not turned around. Yeah, because of we in that problem because he had the chance to change all of that but didn't. But I believe there were like bombs and bazookas, not even a gun to his head. There was like bombs and bazookas if he didn't do that. So I don't think he had a choice. So he's a sellout for me in that manner. Either than
definitely
that,
not.
I kind of understand that he didn't have a choice. So yeah, I'm in between with this thing.
It's very interesting views. Pastor Gavin, on your side?
Obviously, Giggs, I'm going to, I let you watch a video earlier. There was actually an interview with Francois Pina, who was the captain of the South African rugby team in 1995 that won the World Cup here in South Africa. And there was an interview about Francois Pina's experience with Nelson Mandela. Now, I think also if you talk to many of the older ANC people who are my age and older that were alive in the 1980s and the 1990s, I don't think you're going to get this perspective from any of them. And the reason why I'm saying this, in the 1980s, the townships were on fire. There were necklacings going on. Now, who was responsible for that? You know, Nelson Mandela at the time claimed there was a third force. The ANC guys would go and that necklace people. And necklacing was, you took a tire, doused it in petrol, chucked it over someone, sort of tied them up so they couldn't get rid of the thing, and then set them on fire. And they would die the most gruesome, horrific death, both from the flames and also the melting rubber, going all over their bodies. So,
obviously,
Nelson Mandela was part of the ANC.
I let you watch a video earlier. There was actually an interview with Francois Pina, who was the captain of the South African rugby team in 1995 that won the World Cup here in South Africa. And there was an interview about Francois Pina's experience with Nelson Mandela. Now, I think also if you talk to many of the older ANC people who are my age and older that were alive in the 1980s and the 1990s,
in the
I don't think you're going to get this perspective from any of them. And the reason why I'm saying this, in the 1980s, the townships were on fire. There were necklacings going on. Now, who was responsible for that? Nelson Mandela at the time claimed there was a third force. The ANC guys would go and that necklace was. People and necklacing was you took a tire, doused it in petrol, chucked it over someone, tied them up so they couldn't get rid of the thing, and then set them on fire. And they would die the most gruesome, horrific death, both from the flames and also the melting rubber, going all over their bodies. So, Nelson Mandela was part of the ANC that did this. And when all these people are saying that Nelson Mandela was a sellout, they're not really talking about those aspects. The other thing about Nelson Mandela, just to tell you from my perspective, he's the president that signed abortion into law, and a number of things like that I vehemently am opposed to. Right, and I believe that legislation has caused more black people's deaths than the apartheid regime ever did.
I remember that Sunday
however,
afternoon when Mandela was released.
In the years, in the late 1980s, leading up to the early 1990s, South Africa was, as Francois Pina in that interview put it, a powder keg. Now, a powder keg is when you've got gunpowder. And you've got a whole lot of it in a place, and if that stuff catches fire, it's just going to explode. That's how South Africa was. One of the things I'd forgotten, I remember the anger of the black people at the time. especially when Chris Hani was shot, and you know, other instances like that. Also, people in KwaZulu-Natal were being killed left, right and centre, but that was a war between the ANC and the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal. But what Francois Pina mentioned, which was something I'd forgotten, was two things. And that was, if you go back to 1989, 1990, Nelson Mandela was hated by white people. And obviously, a lot of it was due to propaganda that they'd heard, but they hated him. I remember in February 1990 when the then president F.W. de Klerk announced that he was going to release Nelson Mandela from prison. I was telling Giggs earlier today that, you know, when we were looking at the topic for the show, I remember that Sunday afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon when Mandela was released from Paulsmoor Prison. I remember that morning in the Sunday newspapers, we'd seen a photo of him for the first time in many years. You know, we'd only seen pictures of Nelson Mandela from about 1960, you know, when he went on trial. And, you know, that afternoon he walked out of the prison. And I remember people gathered in their lounges to watch us. And myself and my family, we were actually very happy with this. But we did not have the normal view of white people. The people we were watching looked at this and they said, oh my word. Yeah, good grief, Satan's people. Coming to South Africa, you know, all, I mean, the, anyway, they thought this was the end. They really thought this was the end. They thought there's nothing worse that can happen than for Nelson Mandela to be released. It's the end of the world. You know, nuclear war is going to be imminent, and you know, everything's going to collapse, and you know, all of that sort of stuff. And that was the view that white South Africans had, and they were extremely. There were many whites that were extremely angry, and they actually believed that they were sold out. In fact, even I remember standing in the queue to vote, and you know, on April 27, 1994, and I was talking to another white guy that I only met that day. We were talking in the queue, and he was complaining about F.W. de Klerk and Rolf Meyer and the guys that were negotiating for the National Party with the ruling party at the time side, and he was talking about how those guys had sold them out. And there's many white people who probably even today feel that they were sold out, you know, that the country was just given over and stuff like that. So you had a lot of anger amongst white people. You had a lot of anger amongst black people. Obviously, then the election happened. You had euphoria amongst black people, and the white people were angry. And anyway, then the ANC started flexing their muscles, and obviously voices were coming out that they were going to change the emblem of the national rugby team. I'm telling you, at that time, had they done that, there would have been a civil war. There would have been bloodshed like you do not know. And Nelson Mandela was the man. He did, and this is what Francois Pina spoke about. He did two things. Number one, he stood up for the Springbok. And at that time, that was massively important for nation building. And the second thing he did was he threw his full weight behind the South African rugby team and behind that World Cup. He did the opening address at the World Cup, and he presented the trophy at the final. He was presented to the players of both sides, you know, before the final. And he went out onto that field doing something I don't believe any president's ever done before. He was wearing a Springbok rugby jersey with a number 6 on it. The number 6 was the number of the captain, Francois Pina. And I'm telling you now, Francois Pina mentioned that he didn't know at the time. But when Nelson Mandela was brought into the stadium before the players went onto the field that day, this predominantly white, predominantly Afrikaans crowd stood up and went silent. And I was telling Giggs, I remember in 2003, this was now a few years after Nelson Mandela had been president, now gone into retirement. I went to watch a rugby match with some of my family and some friends in Pretoria. South Africa was playing Wales. And I remember Nelson Mandela, he came to the game. And before the game, he came out and he waved. And they introduced him to the players of both sides. And in Pretoria, now you need to understand, I grew up in apartheid South Africa. Pretoria was as pro-apartheid as could be.
Yeah,
this white crowd stood up and they went silent. I've never heard a stadium that quiet. As a sign of respect for that man. And there's a lot of politics I don't agree with. I don't agree with a lot of what he said about religion and stuff like that. But if that man hadn't done what he did, this country would have blown up. And to go from being this massively hated guy to support a Rugby World Cup and support the white people. Plus, black people started supporting rugby because of that man. And what is the most unifying thing in South Africa today? It's a Springbok rugby team. And now we've won two World Cups with a black captain, Siya Kolisi. For me, that's the ultimate insult to apartheid. The fact that South Africa won two World Cups with a black captain. Man, I'm telling you, some of those old prime ministers in that of the apartheid era are turning over in their graves at that fact. You understand what I'm saying? Because this was the Afrikaner sport. This was the national sport.
So for me, I can't really speak on how it affected me.
And South Africa being so united behind the Springboks would not have happened had it not been for Nelson Mandela. And you know, a lot of the people who talk.
Yeah. So I remember is growing up, I heard so many high praises.
The man who was the father of
us, Nelson Mandela, and what he's done for the country.
A number of years ago, him and I were in agreement. Had they not done that deal, there would have been so much bloodshed in this country. People have no idea how many people would have died. And the country was on such a razor sharp knife edge, you know, at that time. Just the last thing, you know, in terms of the housing problems and all of that, they started the RDP housing thing. The ANC in the first 10 years or so built an incredible amount of
houses. I would say from 2010, 11-ish, you started hearing a different narrative in terms of what Nelson Mandela had done for the country.
I don't think it's the same ANC.
But yet again, you start thinking, and especially from what you guys have said, is that can you really say that he was a sellout based on the
Mandela's
decisions
the
that
one
the current government have
to
done?
All the
because obviously he had a dream and a vision for how the ANC was going to run the nation and stuff. And you kind of started seeing the unity in South Africa, and you kind of started seeing a bit of the change that was happening in South Africa. And then
I respect him.
Over time, what the ANC stood for isn't really what Nelson Mandela had envisioned for the nation. He made some really questionable moral decisions in his life.
But to legalize abortion. Those two men had a lot of pressure on them. By the way, many white people felt he sold whites out, so he was called a traitor by many white people.
When you go away from the Bible,
no, it's true.
You know, and there, Nelson Mandela was at fault. However, one must also remember, even if you look at today's ANC, how much power does the president of the ANC really have?
Mm. I think that's what I wanted to allude to.
Yeah. You've got to execute policies.
When you were saying that, I just wanted to allude to that to say, the end of the day, it's probably not even him.
Yeah, yeah. So now this is this.
Yeah,
this
that's. At that time, they just killed Chris Hani. You're just gonna refuse like that?
Yeah.
No. I mean, when Chris Hani was shot, the talks broke down. It actually looked like the country was gonna blow. So people actually don't realize how close this country came to.
Yeah.
And look.
Because black people would have lost their vote, for sure, they had no chance.
Except
because even
you know where I will say what I will criticize when you start introducing legislation to legalize abortion and stuff like that,
they really could have wiped out a massive abortion.
In my view, you're in for moral trouble, you're in for corruption, you're in for
so now I wanted to ask obviously, I didn't prepare you guys for this question, so it's lovely.
You know,
but looking, we've been looking back at what Nelson Mandela had done and the legacy of Nelson Mandela and where South Africa was in that moment and how it could have seriously gone wrong in South Africa. We are heading up to one of the most... What's the word I'm looking for? He signed competitive elections that South Africa has had in a very long time.
He could have resigned in protest.
And you kind of feel like there's instability in the air with the nation because of who might be in power or how they might come into power, who might be the next president and things like that. So do you think that we are also at that point now? where we're needing a leader like Nelson Mandela.
At that stage,
what are your thoughts based on the conversation that we've just had about Nelson Mandela, the state of the nation
whites,
at that
the whites
time,
had the power of
and
the
looking
state.
At the state of the nation
white,
now.
The whites didn't want, and this is what I loathe about what people like Malema
how
say.
Do you think we're going to move
if
forward?
If the whites had wanted to, basically, they really could have wiped out a massive portion of the black population.
I'm just going to say
they had the power.
Nelson Mandela
and they gave it over.
In many ways. But if you don't build the country on the word of God, I don't care how good you are, you're going to end up with what we've got.
Yeah.
That's why Europe's in a mess. That's why the United States is in a mess. Most of the world's in a mess, let's be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't build your nation on the Bible, you're going to be in a mess.
Yeah.
I think your question is a very good one, because I do agree with the fact that this election is kind of sentimentally at that at that level of the 1994 ones. That's how important I feel the elections of now. They're that important, because I think with what she pointed out, that the whole country with the economy and where the country is going, it's kind of like that whole thing that where it's a gunpowder dust, and if flame goes on there, it's gonna blow. But if obviously wartime stuff, nothing
will
go, and then we can get rid of everything.
I'm
so
just gonna say
whatever
Nelson Mandela was a good guy,
or whoever is gonna run the country from
but
after the 29th going
if you
forward,
don't build the country on the word of God,
whoever is going to be voted that day, we're going to know where our country is going.
You're
going to
end up
so
with what we've got.
If it's the ANC,
that's
I
why Europe's in a mess.
The older generation will know where we're going. And
the
I think also we also have black foreigners coming into our
nation
country.
On the Bible,
they say they also kind of have a foresight because of what had happened to them of where South Africa is going. And I think that if ANC carries on the way they are right now, that's where we're going to end up with what the older foreigners are saying to the South Africans, and what the older generation, the older South Africans are saying about South Africa. That's what's really going to happen. That's how important these elections, in my view, they are that important.
Yeah.
Just to say, I just think that for some black people, they're experiencing what white people were feeling before the 1994 election.
Especially
those, I'm talking about, that are in particular ANC supporters. Except we, you know, we as white people knew we've lost.
Mm.
We're voting ANC, we've lost. The only way to win is if we join the ANC. And now, you know, black people are potentially facing the same thing.
In Psalm 60 verse 12, it says, "With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies."
Just in terms of what Black Knight said, with God we will gain the victory, and he will trample our enemies. We have a choice. We can try and trample our own enemies, or we can let God do it. And our enemies are not flesh and blood. We often look at people like saying Mandela's a sellout, you're saying he's your enemy. Saying this about the IFP or Mangosuthu Buthelezi or Joe Biden, you know, whoever it might be, people are not your enemy.
I just think that for some black people,
they're
experiencing what white people were feeling before the 1994 elections.
The important thing,
especially those I'm talking about that are in particular ANC supporters, except we, you know, we as white people knew we've lost. Unless we're voting ANC, we've lost. The only way you could win.
Amen. This has been a really, really awesome show. I've enjoyed the discussion thoroughly. So let us know your thoughts. Yes. So definitely.
Unless they postpone the judgment, then.
Yes, if they postpone the judgment again, then there's no Instagram post. But
if they postpone the judgment, don't call us.
With God, we will gain the victory.
But we will let you know that.
Oh, yes, and I heard that they can.
We have
they
a
only
choice.
Have
we can
try and
trample our own enemies.
19 of August.
Yeah, and our enemies are not
that's
patient.
That's the last date that
we often
the
look at people like
get.
Saying Mandela's a sellout. You're saying he's your enemy.
Yeah, but they said no, I think the last date is the 19th of August.
The they
can't go further.
Mangosuthu Buthelezi or
that's, yeah, that's almost
Joe Biden.
That's June, July, August.
Whoever it might be.
90 days.
People are not your enemy.
Yeah.
Your enemy is a spiritual one. So and he uses people, like,
so
but
they're
not genuine. It's the spirit
so
behind.
Friday is
so when challenges come, the important thing is to get on your knees before God and
okay,
allow him to fight
after
your battle.
The show you'll explain to me
because he will trample all over you. Just look at the Bible. The statement is clear in the end.
Their term ends latest 19th of August.
Oh
yeah. They'd
have
to change the law.
Oh, so
we're going to do an Instagram later.
Sure, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
After the court case. Unless they postpone the judgment then.
They lose their legal mandate.
So if they postpone the judgment, don't call us. Sure.
Hey, yeah, okay, we don't want that to happen.
Wow. Closing off the show.
No, we want the president. Yo.
I'm literally thinking the army is going to take over.
Yes, they can even put in martial law. She's actually right.
But martial law.
They can call in the UN.
Exactly.
Like they've always wanted to. Because our army is not obviously proper.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, it would be.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Civil
the gunfire.
Yes.
The gunpowder will be out of popped.
None of it. You want to come? We'll have a constitutional crisis because the government will cease to exist after that day.
True.
No.
Nothing will
you not. No, remember the elections took place in 2019. That elected
who would have thought 30 years after
their term ends,
the 1994
elections,
we are sitting with such a situation. It has been an amazing show, a crazy show. At the end of the show, we even just found out some crazy things. So let us know your thoughts. Definitely let us know your thoughts on our social media platforms. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we've had Pastor Gavin Instant and
The Black Knight,
right here on the political show where Christ politics
is South Africa. Is South Africa worse
active
or what
FM
army?
Radio has never
for
been
goodness
better.
Sake. Yeah, but what's going to happen to you, Enya?